Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab. Adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
When the pandemic sent us all home to shelter in place, it created new stresses and hard choices for all of us to make. It seems that working from home has created a particularly fine line to walk for women who normally work outside the home, but who are now home and expected to make lunch, be a camp counselor, all while remaining professional on Zoom calls. In a piece from the Harvard Business Review called Why Work From Home Isn't Necessarily Good for Women, it cites research that says, quote, a recurring finding is that women are more likely to carry out more domestic responsibilities while working flexibly, whereas men are more likely to prioritize and expand their work spheres, end quote. Now, as schools open back up, the balance gets more sticky, especially if your kids are only going back to school a few days a week or if they are on full remote learning and your job as tutor kicks back in. Joining me now is Deb Perlman, a food writer and founder of SmittenKitchen.com, but we're not talking about food today. She recently wrote an opinion piece for the New York Times called, In the COVID-19 Economy, You Can Have a Kid or a Job, You Can't Have Both. In it, she tackles some of the unspoken questions about parents and kids and all the people who like to tell them what's to do and what's right. Deb wrote about several comments, including this one. Why aren't you enjoying the extra quality time with your kid? Lays bare what is really simmering below the surface, a retrograde view that maybe one parent, they mean mom, shouldn't be working, that doing so is bad for children, that it's selfish to pursue financial gains or solvency, as working parents will tell you. It is a sentiment so deeply woven into our cultural psyche that making the responsible suggestion that one shouldn't have to abandon a career or livelihood if offices reopen before schools, daycares, and camps do is viewed as a chance to re-deliberate this. Deb Perlman joins us now. Deb, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me on.
So listeners, we want to bring you into this conversation. We want to hear from women working at home, moms working at home right now, who don't normally work at home. How has this affected you? And how has it affected you differently than your spouse, your partner, or different compared to families without children? What's it done? What kind of stresses and strains? Give us a call, 646-435-7280, 646-435-7280, or you can message us on Twitter or Instagram, the handles at @allofitwnyc. Okay, so Deb, what was the moment you knew you were going to write this piece? What pushed you to it?
I kept waiting for somebody else to write it. I mean, I write about banana bread for a living. This is not my area. So I just figured that somebody was going to write this article. And instead, I kept hearing articles about how, I don't know, burnt out parents were, or like the emotional problem and the emotional struggles of us being at home trying to do our full-time jobs and also, you know, educate our children. And I wasn't hearing what I wanted to hear. So I kind of just snapped and I wrote it. And I, honestly, it's kind of fun to get to write like your biggest frustrations out and have people read it. But it was really that it's not an emotional concern. We're not burnt out. We are being ground up in the wheels of this economy that's declared our work inessential. What's happening right now is that parents are in this impossible bind. If you have kids that need your help every day with school, you can't have a job. You're going to either get fired from your job or your kids are just not going to participate in school. And I think for the first few months, we all just buckled up. We did what we needed to do. From March on, they said, this is what your country needs you to do. Stay home. Do your best. And we all did this impossible, exhausting juggling. But going into the fall, I mean, it looks like schools are going to be open in New York. That's what they're saying, but it seems a little doubtful. But regardless, your kids are not going to be in school full time under the best case scenario. And that's if you even feel safe sending them, which means that we're looking at another 6 or 9 months or longer of this. And we're not going to be able to hold our jobs. Like, we're not going to be able to do this. And I can just keep going on. But yeah. I have a daughter about to start kindergarten. She can't do 1 minute of schoolwork without an adult next to her. So that's one income down for us. That's one person who can't work. If you have multiple kids or you're a single parent, we're in this impossible bind. It's like a Sophie's choice. Am I going to pay rent this year, or are my kids not going to be educated? Obviously, bills are going to come first. So I was just kind of wondering out loud if it's official policy that it's not really that important if kids get educated this year.
You know, I sometimes listen to a podcast called Why Mommy Drinks. And and at the end of every podcast, they have people write in for the segment called What Broke You This Week? What Broke You? When was the moment that you really felt like I've been broken by this?
You know what? I have to, like, I keep trying to keep, like, my privilege and everything else in perspective. I can go and rant in the New York Times about how impossible this is because I am self-employed. I don't have a boss who's going to read this and think, wow, she's really unable to handle her work. Maybe I should give that job to somebody else. So I use my relative position of freedom and privilege to go and rant on behalf of all of the moms I heard that couldn't do this at, for fear of just looking like you didn't have your blank together. But for me, one of the things that really scares me going into the fall is that my husband is one of the people who he's lost his job over the, it started when he was furloughed in this spring, and then it became official over the summer that he lost his job, and we need him to go back to work. But we can't have him go back to work if we need somebody at home to teach the kids. And there are some ways that you can get some sort of leave from work if you need to educate your kids at some partial salary. But if you don't have a job, how is that going to work? And so we're just kind of in this holding pattern with one income struggling, and it could be another year or longer.
Our phone number is 646-435-7280, 646-435-7280. Listeners, let's bring you into this conversation, team, all of it. We want to know from women working from home, especially mothers working from home, how has this lockdown affected you? Do you think there is a difference in terms of how it's affecting men and women? Very just interesting, and there's no wrong opinion. We're not in a judgment zone. We just want to hear what's on your mind. Give us a call, 646-435-7280. Let's go to line three. Lillian is calling us actually from Houston, Texas. Hi, Lillian. Thanks for calling All of It.
Hi, how are you? Thank you for
having
me.
What's going on? It sounds like you have a lot going on.
Yes, I do have a lot going on. You know, this conversation is just very important to me because, you know, it's been bothering me internally. And, you know, I'm very excited that you guys are talking about this. This whole COVID situation has really taken a strain on our family. And, you know, I'm African as well. And there's double issues going on in our house now that we're both, you know, everybody's in lockdown. We have a small child at home who's also in lockdown and not going to school. Over time, you know, the duties basically were all put on my head where I was, you know, working full time and taking care of the child full time and then teaching the child because now school has been locked down. And since my, you know, husband was laid off, you know, we only had one income and things were getting very stressful. But for me, I felt like the bulk of the responsibility of this whole situation has been put on women, and I'm one of the people who's been greatly affected by it.
Well, Lillian, I hope you take care of yourself. Find a moment or two for yourself in all of this. Thank you for calling, and we wish you a lot of luck. Let's go to line two. Yadi is calling in. Yadi, thanks for calling All of It.
Thanks for having me. I just have to make a comment.
Please, go ahead.
So I want to make a comment that in the conversation, you hear mostly in the news about students have to return to school. The kids are not getting sick as much, so on and so forth. But without the teachers protesting in certain states like Florida or Texas, so on and so forth, you really don't hear much of what's happening on teachers' lives. And I think people forget that teachers are also people that have children that also have to return to school. And I've just been notified by my district that I'm going to be teaching virtually, but I probably will have to teach virtually at my school, not virtually at home, so I still have to go into work. So then what am I supposed to do with my own children who are not allowed to go into school if they have to do a 50-50 hybrid program, and then they have to learn virtually from home, but nobody's home, so I have to go to school and teach my own students virtually from my school. And my husband's also in education, and he's a school psychologist, so there's lack of services for the actual educators out there that also have to teach their children. And I do have to say that I acknowledge how hard it is for families who have to stay home and work and teach their children, that don't have the experience that me and my husband have working in a school and knowing that what that's supposed to look like for our children, mm-hmm. knowing what structure of education looks like, how to teach a subject, how to make that happen at home. And then you have people who don't work in education have to deal with that for the first time in their lives and work full time from home and deal with all the problems they have from home. So I'm just feeling it for everybody out there and everybody around me as well.
Yadi, thank you so much for calling in. My guest is Deb Perlman. She wrote a piece in the New York Times detailing what is going to be so difficult and why. Also, Deb, you talked about a lot in your piece about, like, why aren't we talking more about this? Why aren't we just throwing the skunk on the table, so to speak, as we say in my house? Why don't you think people are talking about some of these issues more? We just opened our lines and we just heard, I mean, we've got more people on lines with all kinds of stories.
Yeah, I definitely, you know, there's the sort of the short term issue, which is that we don't really have, we don't have job protections here. Like, who's going to protect a parent's job if they can't do it this fall because they need to educate their kids? But there's also a long term thing, which is that we don't have universal child care in this country. We don't believe in it. We don't like the look of moms working. And so we don't support it. And we've never had a national policy. So there is that is something that people have long talked about. But I chose for the purpose of the article to just focus on the short term, because since March, every system that was even tenuously in place has fallen apart for parents. And we're realizing that we just have no protections. And the worst part of this is, and because, you know, the last person who called in is a teacher, is that it's starting to sound like parents versus teachers. And that is absolutely like the work of the devil. Mm-hmm. Not a religious, but like, it really is like a trick to pit parents against teachers here, when it really is a policy failure. It's a lack of job protections. It's a lack of understanding that if two parents or one parent has to work, you know, that you can't educate your kids. And it was that we didn't control the virus in a way that it would be safer to, for schools to open, that we've underfunded schools for decades so they don't have the budget and the ability to pivot when they needed to, when the health issue changed, and they don't have the space and they're overcrowded and they're underfunded. So there's so many pieces here, and I feel like teachers and parents are bearing the brunt of it, but we're on the same team. And I also, you know, when I hear about something where, like, kids are going to come in three shifts during the week to the classroom, like one out of 3 days, like, it feels so much less safe to me for a teacher, mm-hmm. for kids who are, like, in various childcare situations on the other days that we've patched together, to be coming into this classroom like this. It seems like the number of potential virus carrying interactions would be infinitely increased versus having like one safe pod of kids who with minimized external interactions. So I worry a lot about the teachers, and it doesn't feel like this is going to work for long, if it works at all.
Let's go to line one. Artemis is calling from my hometown, Glen Ridge, New Jersey. Hi, Artemis. Thanks for calling all of it.
Hi.
Hi, what's going on in your world?
I'm a solo parent, which is a whole other ball game. Not only a single parent, but there is no father involved, unfortunately. And I lost my job on March 17th as a chief marketing officer, and that was quite a shock financially. And I did virtual learning while also looking for a job 12 hours a day and taking care of the home, and fortunately started working in July by sheer miracle. I think that as a solo parent, we find the positives in things because we have to, and also there is no choice. So there is a level of fight, a level of joy in enjoying children, finally being at home with them, and also the children take on more responsibility. And I've seen my children grow. They're 8 and 10 and take on more and more for themselves. But as we get into virtual learning, and I've been listening to what you're saying, the sheer complication of dealing with the schedule makes it likely that I will say virtual only, just to keep things consistent and to keep one schedule all day long, all week. And that may not be what's best for the children. But, you know, I think choices get even more limited for single parents, and especially for solo parents, when you're doing everything alone. But you also get more focused and more positive just to be able to survive.
Good luck to you and your family. Let's slide in one more call. Mia is calling us from Olympia, Washington on line 5. Mia, thanks for calling in. It sounds like this conversation is something that you've been thinking about a lot.
Oh my gosh, thank you for taking my call. I am on the other side of the coast, and I was actually just having kind of a mini mental breakdown, and I walked outside in my backyard. I feel privileged. I have some space in my backyard. I live in rural Washington, and I stepped outside, and I was just taking a breath going, wow, how are we going to do this? How are we, my husband and I, both going to have full-time jobs and make sure that our child and our other older children are really, really part of this solutionary process? And one of my messages today is that you're not alone if you're out there listening to this, mm-hmm. because I turned the radio on, and this is what was on, and I was like, these kind of conversations have to keep happening, and we've got to support each other. And this is such a multi-based issue. I mean, we're talking about internet access. We're talking about right. mental health support. We're talking about time in the, you know, with your kids outside. I mean, there are just so many things that this involves. And just know you're not alone. And I just wanted to quickly touch on the fact that it took me since last March to get a hold of somebody in my local public school district to get back to me until yesterday, wow. about what was going to happen for my son in 2 weeks. And if you're in my shoes, you're not alone, and keep fighting. And you know what? There's so many of us out there that are so hopeful that we can spend the time that we need with our kids and still find the balance. And we're in it together. So that was my message, because you guys made me feel so much better when I walked outside and turned on the radio. And I was like, wow. I'm not alone here.
Mia, thank you so much for calling in and sharing that sentiment. So, hey, Deb. It's a great thing that you yeah. wrote this article. It's actually, there's a lesson in it. Don't wait for someone else to do it. You should just, if you think you can make a difference, try to make a difference. The name of the piece is called In the COVID-19 Economy, You Can Have a Kid or a Job. You Can't Have Both. It is by Deb Perlman. Deb, thank you so much for giving us a little bit of your day today.
Thanks for having me on.